covering Jude chapter 1. And we're going to begin, we took a little bit of 16, but let's begin again 16. But 16, 17, and 18, let's read that together, starting with 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in its admiration because of his vanity. Verse 17, Jude 1, 17. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. All right, that's 16, 17, 18. All right, verse number 16. These, what does these refer back to? Harold, good to see you. From the book of Jude, chapter 1. Jude, chapter 1, okay. What does these refer back to?
Ungodly.
The ungodly, that's right. And what particular ones were you mentioned earlier that were the ungodly? Verse 6 talks about the angels, and verse 7 talks about Sodom and Gomorrah.
False teachers
and homosexuals, and various things. These are called what in verse number 16?
Murmurs.
What does murmur mean? Complainers, okay. What part of speech do we call the word murmur? Onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia comes from two Greek words. What's the first? Onoma is what? Noun, poio, to say, to speak, or to make, say the same thing, or speak the same thing as it sounds. So it's murmur. Again, murmurs were complainers. What else? Anything else? What does Paul say about murmuring? Do all things about murmuring, complaining, distribute you may be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I don't remember the reference, but Philippians. So all things are murmured. So these are murmured. What do you suppose they're murmuring about? What do you suppose these false teachers are murmuring about? Was it? Could be about anything. What else?
Wrong religion.
Wrong religion, maybe?
Yeah, world religion. Yeah.
Could they be murmuring about the true faith of the scriptures?
Yeah.
Because they're false teachers and murmurers. Why do you tell me that? I don't believe the scriptures. These murmurers are false teachers, so scriptures, they murmur against, they don't want. Murmurs in verse 16, and complainers means what? Yes, oh, I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
The verb
is standing, that is Philippians
2:14.
Oh, thank you. Okay, let's say Philippians 2:14 again. Do all things, not murmur, but dispute, that you may be sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:14, that's a good verse. 2:14. All right, so these complainers, what do you think is different today if a murmur and a complainer might be? What would be a difference? There are synonyms, Mike, but what would be the difference today? Murmur, complainer. Yes, the cat. That's
right.
Grumblers, okay? Yes, Carolyn.
Yeah.
So, grumblers is like.
Maybe murmuring just to yourself, like you're.
Maybe, probably that.
And then complaining yourself.
Complaining. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the word complaining an onomatopoeia?
No.
Why not?
It doesn't sound like
what it is. Is the hiss of a serpent, is that an onomatopoeia?
Yes.
Why? Sounds like a serpent. Of course, that's not a word. That's not a word. Okay. If you say a word, it would sound like that. It would be by way. So complainers and murmurers, do any Christians complain about anything?
Yes.
Anything. If it says in Philippians 2:14 and 15, like you just quoted, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Is it complaining? Murmurs and complaining? It's good. Okay. If it says that and we do that, what does that make us to our Christian people?
Blameless and harmless.
But if we do complain, we sin, we're not following the Word of God. It's hard to do all things without murmuring, isn't it? What's that we have to do by the power of God the Holy Spirit? We're able to do it, not in our flesh. Our flesh can't do it. that you made blameless in her. So, do all things. Yes, I'm correct. Yes, I'm correct.
Just take that a little deeper and further.
Yeah.
What do you mean that? Because I think I experienced this morning. Why do we murmur? Why do we complain? Why do we, why do we do these things? What is the root of it?
The root of it?
And usually the root of it is that somehow we're offended, or we feel offended, or something isn't the way we want it to be.
Right.
I guess in my mind, I think it's always to be God-focused, focusing on God.
Because
we're in the flesh, we get caught up in that, and that's what
God tells us to do. Yeah, I think the flesh is very liable and leaning towards complaining and murmuring.
Yeah,
By the way,
food and raiment, there would be consensus. Food and raiment, there would be consensus.
There was thinking of having food and raiment.
The Lord didn't even have a place to put his head up there.
Right.
For a house.
He can say that, right.
Well,
be sure to say hello to our ones that don't come all the time, but they come sometimes. Jill back there, Antoinette over here, and Carol Whitlock, and then Rich Kowinski. Say, well, these are some we're glad to have all four of these people. Yes, yes. See, she's a older Bible Christian church, but she comes here quite often for Bible studies, which is good. All right, so Murmur complaints in verse number 16. Then says, and their mouth speak a great swelling word. Oh, excuse me, Anna, I'm sorry. Character in Job have an electric saw?
No.
He wouldn't have an electric saw because his name, the Buzzard, sounds a little bit like it. Alright, so, and murmurs come. What does this mean in verse number 16? Their mouth speaking great swelling words. What is a swelling word?
Boastful.
Boastful, probably prideful. Swelling. Probably a long one, too, if they're swelling, it's a long one. Yes. Some of the largest, longest words, we don't understand what they mean, but people use them, don't they? Why do people use long, ununderstandable, undiscernible type of words, you think?
Make
themselves look good. Make themselves look good. Everybody looks fat. You don't understand what he's talking about? Yes.
Kind of like when you go to vote and they have some questions, and the way it's written, it's just not written clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know, but it's written that way on purpose because, politicians and whatnot want you to not understand. It's legal jargon, exactly.
It's legal jargon, yes.
Yes,
the illustration I've given many times at a church, like the lady that went to this church and said, what a wonderful, wonderful, the modernistic apostate church, what a wonderful sermon, The reason being that I couldn't understand what he said. That's why it was wonderful. See, a lot of times people are big words, they think that's wonderful. It's not wonderful, it's foolish.
Sorry, but I have to make a comment. Because after the morning service, I did put on Facebook, it was a wonderful sermon.
I couldn't understand what he said.
Good. I wanted to put
I went through the video, and I don't have the video yet, so I said more to come. So it wasn't because I didn't have anything else to say. Right. Good. Well, swelling words. Now, some people are persuaded by big swelling words, and of course, Los Angeles president speaks big swelling words, and in fact, he speaks all the time. If he'd have to pay out of his own pocket for all the free of TV time he has, network time, I don't know. Hope he's got a lot of money. But anyway, swelling words. Be careful of great out of their mouth Now notice, what is the motivation for these flowing words in verse 16, the last part? That's a very important section. What's the motivation? Why do they speak these words? What do they want to have happen?
A
lot of men, all right? In other words, having men's persons in admiration because of their standing. What does admiration first of all mean? Admiration. What is it?
Admiring
men's faces, all right? The persons in admiration. In other words, they want to admire the people. People admire them. What is it?
Pharisees.
Like Pharisees.
They flatter them.
Flatter them, yes. Admiration. Now, it says the last part, because of advantage. What does that mean?
Profit.
All right. In other words, when they talk to people, even though they really don't agree with them, they pretend to agree with them for the sake of advantage. What would advantage mean? Getting good with that particular person, man or woman, pastor or whatever. So, politician, yes, for the sake of advantage. This is a very serious thing. And many people do this. Is that right to do or wrong to do? As long as these apostate teachers, false teachers are doing it, and apparently Judas is saying the reason of motivation, and I don't believe it's right at all. Then in verse 17, why is the word but?
Contrast.
That's right. It's an adversity. It's an adverse, a contrast. But beloved, who's referred to there?
Saved,
born again Christians, believers. And she is talking about unbelievers or false teachers up to this point. Now, as Jude says, beloved, you are saved, born again Christians. Remember the word. What does it mean to remember?
Think of
something happened before. Keep in mind. Why do people want? Does anybody ever tell you to remember things?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things they tell you to remember?
Important days.
Examples.
Passwords.
What is that? Passwords. That's a good thing to remember. Passwords in the computer. Anna?
I'm sure my instructors would be happy if I remembered what they told me.
Yeah.
Scripture.
Happy scripture. Remember scriptures? In fact, this morning we had a remembrance of what?
Lord's death.
Lord's death until he comes. Remember the Lord's death. These things do in the until I come. So remember, what are they to remember in this case? In verse 17. What are they to remember?
Words.
Spoken by whom?
Apostles
of the Lord Jesus Christ. What apostles wrote words? Now some I'm sure spoke words, but how many apostles wrote words?
Peter, John,
Paul, James, Robert, Matthew, Mark, anyhow, all these. And see, what does that indicate as far as Bible books and Bible words are concerned?
It's an error,
that's true. What else is this in? The true apostles and true words.
Instruction.
What should we do with these words? Now, right, how do you remember words if you've ever read them? Can you remember things you've never read? Never heard? So, remember the words. Now, can you read the scriptures once and remember everything you read?
No.
You have to repeat. My mom used to say, as a man with 2 feet, and a bottle of 1 foot, he'd put the name Pete, the other foot, repeat. Every time he went left and right, left and Pete and repeat. And then she came to this Latin proverb, we've heard of anything. Repetitio, mater, studium, est. You know what that means? Repetition, mater, studium, the mother of learning, est, is. And petitions from other learning. So she used to tell me, I don't know how she got that, because she must have learned it from something. But to better remember, she did remember. She had a good memory. She had to repeat it this time, I'm sure, many times. Some wanted to do this, so that she had 2 daughters and one son. So, but you know, after she was very old, maybe even after she died, my youngest sister, Annie, is with the Lord now. Annie said that I was mom's favorite. I never knew that. I never knew that all my life. She never let me know. But Annie knew. Now, my older sister, Dottie, is dad's favorite. We all knew that. We all knew that. Was that Anna, son?
We all knew that.
I don't know how I got in that. Hey, remember, Mom was a good mom, and she wanted me to remember things. And now, remember the word.
Yes, I know it's all subject, but who was firstborn?
Firstborn was my sister died. And then I was next, and then Annie was third. One, two, three.
Annie knew that she wasn't the favorite, but she got it.
Yeah, Annie was doing the best. She was 7 years younger than all of us, really, about 6 or 7 years younger. And so when we all left the house, and she was there, she was the baby, and she got a lot of things, and she went to go here and go there, which Friday and I never got to go there. Anyway. She was fine. She's all right. And I was going to put her over here, so fine. Now, we've got to remember the words. And the only way to remember the words is to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. Read and read and read. As I said, ever since I was saved, I've been reading the scriptures, Genesis, Revelation. On the 1st of January, after I was saved, our pastor, Pastor Earl Willis, said, I would like every one of you members of our Berea Baptist Church, Berea, Ohio, next year to read the entire Bible through. And I didn't know how to do that. I asked my the father-in-law would see that I had time when I wasn't married to my wife yet, but how do we do that? He said, I don't know. So I looked at the Bible, and Uncle Charlie Allen, our high school janitor, who led me to Christ, he gave me a Bible, and that Bible, every single book had the same number, had number of verses, chapters, and words. And so I looked at the end, Old Testament, verses, chapters, and words, and the whole of the end together, 31,000 something words in the scripture. Verses. And so I divided 31,106, whatever, by 365 and a fourth. I came up with 85 verses. That's our way. How you get it? How to do it. Just, that's the way to do it, so we've been doing it. But we've got to continue to remember the words of the Lord, and the only way to remember is to keep up to yes.
This would say if you have three chapters a day, you want to be
able to read. Well, the trouble with the chapters is, some Psalms have three verses, and some are 19 to 176 verses. So the chapters are not equal. Yes. So it's faster than verses. And even some verses are longer than others, but it's better to go by verses. So, but we've got to remember, and remember we've got to keep reading and reading the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is an apostle?
Someone is elected by Christ.
Elected by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So not one, yes. Yeah.
No, I just want to
okay. Yes, sent out by Christ. So apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they wrote these books, and we've got to have these books. We've got to read those books, and we've got to be sure that those books, those words are preserved. Did the Lord Jesus promise to preserve his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That word never, never, ume, strong, negative. And the words of our Jesus gave the New Testament, that he gave through the Holy Spirit, and I suppose the Old Testament the same. Those are his words. The apostles followed Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 18, these apostles forewarned that they should do what? What's going to happen in these last times? What did the apostles in the scriptures tell us about?
Mockers
will come. What is a mocker?
They
spun of something, all right?
Yeah.
Denigrate someone, that's right, denigrate. And what did Job say of his three friends? Miserable comforters, and after they said a few things, he had an imperative, a command, something they should do.
Mock on.
That's what you got it.
I don't know how you remember that.
Okay. In other words, he just let them have it right between the eyes. All the different things that they were saying about him, they're untrue, they say thought he was a sinner, they thought he was going to be right. And he just said, mock on. It's two words that send it off. Mockers make fun of people. Have you ever been mocked by anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you're mocked because you're a Christian, what should be your attitude?
Graciously.
Glorify God. So,
the
scriptures say that the born again Christians will be persecuted?
Yes.
That's a fact that it says, woe unto you when men speak well of you. Yeah, so it's nice for some people, a few people speak well of you, but when all men shall speak well of you, there's always those that are mockers. So these people here that Jesus taught you about are mockers. When will they be especially multiplying and many?
End time.
End time. What does the last time mean?
Rapture.
Before the rapture, second coming. Now, was it were they the last time in the, was it the last time when the scriptures were written? Did it say the last times? The last times? Well, that's true, but it says many times we're living, even when Paul was writing and Peter was writing, we're in the last times. But they're the last times, years after that. We're even more so than ever. Very last, exactly. The last time. Now, what do these mockers do in verse number 18? Okay, what lust meaning what? Worldly lust, ungodly desires, ungodly desires in the flesh. And how is it they can walk after those? What does it mean to walk after these ungodly? What is it? How they live their lives, what they do, how they what they say, what they think, what they do, the actions and words and thoughts. And it's going to be the last thing. We've got all kinds of people today doing that very thing, whether it's on TV, whether it's on radio, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on radio, movies, whatever, or whether it's on the newspapers, walking after their ungodly lusts. And to have our president and the Congress go along with homosexual sodomite marriages, this is ungodly lust. And they're walking after that. To have them in the military, first of all, anybody. When I was a Navy chaplain, and Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, Texas, we had some waves. Girls during our Navy people were homosexual. What did they do? They kicked them out. When I was a chaplain, they kicked out homosexuals. And now, the first step of us, don't ask, don't tell. In other words, it could be in, but don't ask. Now, everybody's welcome. Come right out of the closet, and all the homosexual women, homosexual men in the military, and as a result of that, the perverted people have been raping men after men, hundreds of men, thousands, always, and women say, sad thing, start walking after their own lusts. It's one thing to have the lusts, ungodly lusts, but to walk after them means putting in action. Everybody can see it. So, out of the closet, everybody out of the closet. It's a terrible thing. And this is what's happening today. All right, let's go on with verses 19, 20, and 21. Let's read those together. These be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. All right, these be they who separate themselves. What does it mean to separate yourself?
Distance,
all right. They separate themselves. Now, when ungodly people are in a church, what does God tell us to do if we're saved and born again?
Separate
ourselves out of it. These people separate themselves. What did that?
Well, we try to keep them out of the house.
Right.
Let's get cleansed of the
bounds. Now, if you can't take them out, we're to separate ourselves from them and to separate unto the truth of the Word of God. But these are separate themselves. In other words, what does it mean separate? That word separate?
Set apart.
Set apart, alright. Now there's a good separation and a bad separation. Is this a good or a bad one?
Good.
This is a good one? These unbelievers separate themselves. It's a good one? All right, let's go back. Who do these refer to?
Ungodly,
unblocking to them. So, in this case, does this separate the good or bad? Now, if ungodly people separate themselves, what does that mean?
Separate from the godly.
Separate from the godly. What else? Yeah,
sin.
All right, understand. Jim?
Well, nothing to do with God.
All right. And yes.
Unrepentant.
Now, if they separate themselves, all of them together, completely false teachers, separated from all the rest of people that are doing the right thing, they're doing the wrong thing, they're together. A misery loves company. It's a kid. Anna, I mean, 10.
This one, Jim,
totally built up by this morning's message from Second Peter by Pastor Dan May. Also studying the fundamentalism of Pastor Daniel May. Very good. And last but not least, great piano by Pastor. Thanks, Paul. God bless.
Great piano. That's great. And James Carter. What is the state again?
Louisiana.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
He's not a Massachusetts. Say, wait, everybody, wait for me. Thank you. Thank you. All right. James Carter. Thank you, James. Appreciate your comment. Other questions at bfcbc.org or 856-61-9018. Give us a call. Give us a comment. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello if you wish. So, a separate, and what is another thing, verse 19? What does this adjective mean? Sensual. What's that mean?
The flesh.
The flesh, okay, just pleasure, that's all. Mm-hmm. All they care about is their own. Now, an animal, excuse me, let me one thing, over here. Yeah. Yes, James from Texas, take it.
Yes, sir.
Jacob Rover from Texas. Wave to Jacob. Thank you, Jacob. From Texas, that's right. All right. That's a good verse, Jacob. Thank you. So, animals, all they have is the feelings and the flesh. I mean, they can't talk like we can talk, and they can't communicate with the horse, isn't it? That's all they have is the senses. And alligators, that's all they have. And these wild beasts, you know, it's all they do is wolves that go after. But people, should they be like animals? Just flesh and stuff? No, this is. Do Christians? Yes, Joe.
A lot of the people who. Christians, they say, okay, for example, dogs. I'm just picking pets and that. Oh, unlike women, dogs get unconditional love. Well, these people are not looking at Jim instead of after dogs.
Now, what is the name of the dog that bites people and kills people?
Rottweiler?
Is that the name? Pit bull is one of them. Now, some pit bulls that can be tamed and calmed and be tamed, but a lot of pit bulls are very angry and they go after and try to kill and bite and stuff. So some dogs are more friendly than others. I guess I'm just trying to illustrate that. Just like some people are more friendly than others. Get done? Is that right, Dr. Kim?
I just.
Yes, Mr.
Children, too.
Dogs, I mean, they have dogs that can nip out cancer.
Yeah.
dogs that like help people that are handicapped, and then there's dogs who seem proven that they lower your blood pressure. So dogs are a blessing from the Lord.
Yes.
We have to have the right mentality.
Right.
You can turn into an idol.
Yeah, I don't know too much about these high-polluted dogs. I just had one dog. His name was Jippy. And the reason they called Jip is because my dad paid 50 cents for him. And because they said, even that's a Jip. So I built a little dog house for him. And I don't remember real. I'm just a young fellow, but I like to like dogs. But when I left, he got real mean. And when I was there, he was fine. He was very nice. I don't know what he was. A big name dog. He was just a mutt. But when I left, he started biting all the people around the area. They had to throw him out.
Years ago, there was a young man who was
hurt.
He was back when I was like 8 or 6.
So these unbelievers are sensual, just the senses, just that which pleases them. The world is filled with the things that please the sense, in our way. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's dope, narcotics of any kind. These are things that are sensual. Whether it's how recently we heard about a man who killed himself. I guess accidentally, a man or woman, I forget who it was. They had this game where you choke yourself and then you sort of feel sexy. You get more sexy if you choke yourself and talk, but they choke too far and the person dies. See, crazy stuff. Just getting feelings. That's all I care about is feelings. You've heard of that, I'm sure, have you? That's where you choke yourself about it. It's terrible. Central. And so having not the Spirit, what does that mean?
Don't have the Holy Spirit.
Who has the Holy Spirit?
Those genuine
believers, genuinely saved. How did the Scriptures teach that, or is that just our idea? Scriptures teach that. We mentioned one of the verses this morning in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. That's it. So what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your body and your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. So our bodies are saved people, the temple, our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit. So these people have not the Spirit. So they have a human spirit.
Yes.
Yes, every person, say the law, says, three parts,
body, soul, and spirit.
What's the fourth part of the scripture?
Spirit,
soul, and body. 1 Corinthians 5, 19. Every person has a spirit, a soul, whether it's saved or lost. But the saved one is a Christian, has an additional part, that is God the Holy Spirit indwelling the body. And we must honor the Holy Spirit of God. Where my bodies are his temple. What is a temple?
Place where you worship.
It should be a holy place. So our bodies should be holy, which is not of the Lord and not of the gifts. Yes, dwelling presence of God, Shekinah glory, and temple. So not having a church. All right, let's read verse. Did we read 20 or 2? Oh, we did read this. Okay, oh, yeah, so first one. But ye beloved, again, who's he speaking to here? Saints of believers? Now it says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. What does it mean to build up?
Edify, erect.
Edify, erect. Should Christians build up themselves in the things of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How is that accomplished? By the word, certainly prayer, and fellowship with fellow believers. Mm-hmm. Are there to build yourselves up? That's a command, isn't it? Building up yourselves. That I am the most holy faith. Now, Anna, maybe you can check on the Greek there, see if it's an article or not. I think it is, but I want to be sure. The most holy faith. That's Jude 1:20. What is building up yourselves in the most holy faith? What is this most holy faith?
Faith.
Yeah.
relationship.
That certainly is part of it. He's just right there, crucified. If there's an article before the faith, what does that indicate in Greek?
The body of doctrine.
The whole theological thing, the works of God, all the scripture doctrine. If it's without the article, what does it mean? Without the article, what does it mean? Personal faith and trust that we have. So Anna's visually looking that up in the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 20. When she comes up there, we'll have the answer. Now, the last part of that, praying in the Holy Ghost, what does that mean?
Have the Holy Spirit to guide your prayer.
Have the Holy Spirit guide your prayer. Right? In other words, make sure, how can a person know that he's praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit? Adam, got it? No articles? Okay. Pastor Dan, maybe you can take a look and see if you see an article there. Maybe there's no article. In 1:20, in the most holy faith, probably way in before the word most. Put yourself up and in probably that point. You see anything that?
Yeah.
Okay. Praying in the Holy Spirit, in other words, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to pray.
The will of God.
The will of God, that's right. Pray outside the will of God. That means we're going along with the scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God teaches us. And this is a pattern for prayer. Yes, and for that.
Being in agreement with those scriptures teaching.
Yes,
agreement with the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right, yes.
Third message of the verse in Romans chapter 8, where it says that the Holy Spirit
we know all about, yes. Great. Help us with our infirmities.
Help us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself made an intercession for us, groaning to one another.
Grade 36? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. 26. Okay, but see, man, nothing?
It's absent.
Okay. So, the most holy faith is.
Pardon me? Your most holy faith is personal faith.
Personal faith, Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. All right? It's a holy faith because the object is the Lord Himself, Lord Jesus Christ. And He is holy, that's what our faith is. So, praying in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, we talk. Then we went to 21, didn't we?
Yes.
So, keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that word keep mean in that sense?
Sure.
Guard. All right. And persevere, probably, either one of those things. In the love of God, how does that accomplish?
Put on the whole armor of God.
Keep yourself in the love of God.
Be in obedience.
Obedience to His word.
Letting the word of God
go on our spiritually. Yes, let the word of God go on our
spiritually. Yes? Then praying and reading and
doing all
the stuff that is teaching the word of God.
All right. Keep yourself the love of God. Yes.
Maybe having a made up mind. Because the mind is powerful.
Yeah.
So if we, make up our mind, okay, God, I want to keep myself. Help me keep myself in you.
So we mentioned that reading the scriptures and being very clear on that is helping us to keep ourselves in the love of God, all the scriptures and words. What if we don't touch the Bible one day? What about 2 days? 3 days? 4 days? 5 days? 1 week? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? 5 weeks? Months? 2 months? 3 months? 4 months? Is that your God's yourself in love? Take a look. Why is it, in order to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might, we must and should read God's word? Why is it? Meditation.
God speaks to
him.
He says, most
listen to
mind.
Right?
The Lord's mind.
The Lord's mind is in the Word of God. That's right. That's right.
Because we have the mind of Christ, but we don't know the mind of Christ. Unless we read it.
Yes.
We have to read it.
That's right. So,
that's
right. Not that, but I don't know. Every word. That's the Word of God. So, keep yourself in the love of God.
It's also
yes.
It doesn't just happen.
Right.
I try to mark my Bible and get an action word.
Yeah.
Something he has to do.
Yeah.
it just doesn't have so it's like I have to we have to
yes
yeah
right. Yeah, Lord got sharp and intuitive. Hebrews 4:12.
The sword doesn't do any good if it's
in the sheath. Now, is this a command or a suggestion?
Command.
Now, remember the Old Testament on Mount Sinai. How many commands did God give to Moses? 10. Are there other commands in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Not the Ten Commandments, but other commands in order. Just one, isn't it? Over how many are there orders in the New Testament? Somebody summed it up. I got them up now. No, at least over 100.
Isn't there like 700 and some commands in the Bible?
She said 1,600.
No, 600 and something commands.
I think we have it over 1,500. I don't think it's 1,600. But I've got it in my file. I said, look it up. I said, bring it out, put it on the rack. All the commands in the New Testament, orders, commands for Christians to do today.
I asked an Orthodox Hasidic Jewish man, I said, what are those ropes on the side of your walking? He goes, those are all the commandments. So I said, so he goes, each knot is like another command, so that reminds them if they're walking, it's Hashem, past them.
Yeah.
All those little ropes that remind you of that's a Peacock's command.
They only had
10,
we got over 1,000.
And they also post them on
doors.
So when
They're reminded of the commandments.
No, they have a bunch of knots.
Oh, more than 10.
Yeah, they have a bunch of knots in each rope.
Oh, well,
I don't know how many, but
it's a lot. Oh, that's true. The Pope would consider to be the one that God gave us on Sunday.
For someone who's a Jew, who has not been practicing Jew, who has not accepted Christ as Messiah, if they're looking at them, if you look at the man in the Old Testament,
there are many more than 10. That's correct. That's right. Abraham.
If you offended at one point, you've broken all of them.
No, they're wrong.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Because the honest offender, you know, the flying fire and and all
that's
these
right. There's lots of other kind of things.
On that same token, too, I asked another one, I said, why do you bob your head when you're praying? And he goes, this, that stops your mind from wandering, just the fact that they're doing this.
I see.
I never knew. You know,
good. They do that
at the wall.
At the wailing wall, I guess they do that.
Although they reject the Messiah.
Yes, that's right.
But then, you
know,
that on the Sermon on the Mount, wasn't
that
the
three things? Yes, that's right. If you hate, you're killing it. So the Old Testament Jews and different things. The man that wrote that book on the four blood moons, what's his name?
John
Hagee. What does he think about the Jews? What do they think about the
Jews? Well, I know that he has a
love
for Israel.
He thinks that's going
to
happen.
But your grant loves Israel?
He believes the Jews have a special covenant with God. They don't need to accept Christ in order to go to heaven.
That's right. So he believes all the Jews are saved and born again in heaven. Is that true or false?
That's wrong.
That's false. That's false
religion.
Dead wrong. Dead wrong. And this is a serious thing as far as, we love the Jews, but we don't say they're going to heaven unless it's Christ. Let's say John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's the only man gets there. I'm sorry about John Hagee. Jill.
I know people who still have fundamental scriptures, and they follow and watch John Hagee. They really like him.
Yes, I know. He's very persuasive. In fact, someone gave us the book to read the Four Blood Moons, and we've been reading John Hagee just to see what he says in that book. A lot of things he says that are right, a lot of things that aren't right, but he said, got a problem. He had a huge church. He committed adultery with his secretary, and they kicked him out of one church. Went across the city and built another church. He's got thousands of them. So he must be everywhere. Yes, Jill and then Anna.
I should say that. First of all, he's also married.
Yeah, well, yeah, the same sex. The one he had sex.
Yeah, oh, that's the one that's the second.
They like John Hagee because he spends a lot of money on them.
All the money on the Jews.
He brings a lot of people to Israel, and they have a big celebration there. And he has this thing in Washington every year. The Jews like him because he's constantly trying to get the government to support all the positions of the Jews.
Anna, then Tammy. And keep yourselves in verse 21 in the love of God. What's that? You got to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, he is a very dynamic speaker.
Oh, yes.
And so that's one of the part of why he's going on.
Well, absolutely. He's a good speaker. He's a good writer. He writes very clear writing. We've been reading it. No question. But just because people can speak well and write well doesn't necessarily mean that biblical is what they're writing. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the fact that he's really attractive is very fitting because he found it so good and he looks so nice. And I'm not sure if it works out for that.
Mm-hmm. Senator Kennedy? President Kennedy?
I'm not sure
if it's the best
for the country.
Who are you talking about,
Senator? President Obama.
Oh, Obama. Okay, good to hear what you're saying. All right. Didn't turn out for the best. He said he's going to have hope and change. He certainly has change, all right? And Jill, go ahead.
That's what people are saying. You know, Charles Stanley. Okay, like Peggy, he seems to be married also. He might be able to speak to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got him mixed up with somebody else for a minute. It was Benny Hinn who remarried his wife.
Furthermore, if you look into the background of John Hagee, you'll see that they say all the Jews don't need Christ, they're saved. That's heresy. You said
no,
the truth of the fact
that you're saying, but I never heard that.
Why, you don't have to hear it. I didn't hear it.
Anything I read or heard.
And for that, I hadn't heard it either, but I read it out of his mouth. Study up on it and read it. And if you find out that he thinks all the Jews are saved, is he a heretic on that or not? All right. Stand with us. All the things you agree with is fine, but heresies are Anna and Pastor Dan. Anna, go right here. Anna, I don't hear you.
Well, yeah. So I guess the concern with me is that the conclusion of theology is that instead of saying that, you know, God is going to do something, you know, he's just taking these naturalistic approaches, because he's saying that, okay, well, astrology, astrology are seen as full-blood movies coming. And these
in the word, full-blood movies is in the word of God.
Talk about the blood news.
No man shall know.
All right.
Hour. He says what the Bible says.
All right, so we'll go back over. Yes, go ahead, John. The love of God, what else are we looking for? What? In verse 21. Looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, what does mercy mean? Oh, go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
The idea of mercy, why did you ask the question? It's not just because something is deserved.
Not receiving something is deserved.
God's merciful. Because we deserve punishment.
Deserve punishment, and God is merciful.
Grace is giving us something. You know, we give grace. It's not receiving something we do deserve, whereas grace is receiving something we do not deserve. You know, we were mentioning earlier, after the previous discussion, we're not so trying to pick on any particular individual. You know, whether it be Charles Stanley, Benny Hinn,
John Hickey,
yeah. And somebody else has mentioned too, I don't know what his name was. But the idea of looking at Scripture and having a prerequisite for the rapture and saying that when the prophets in the Old Testament and John, the apostle, speaks about the moon being the blood, mm-hmm. or the moon becoming blood, or becoming mm-hmm. as blood, or like blood, whatever that might be, is, you know, that should not be explained by something that happens naturalistically. First of all, having a full moon, and then having an eclipse during a full moon, mm-hmm. which said that full moons are geared to feast days. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we can have a blood moon and a feast day.